has many sounds. These are the sounds you would expect to hear in a war. They are the business of war. This is also a sound of the war in Vietnam. Broadcast of American Forces, Vietnam Network Program, heard by an infantryman in the Central Highlands, a Marine near the DMZ, a sailor in the Mekong Delta, and an airman at Da Nang. The voice of AFDN has been there, under the other sounds of war, bringing entertainment to American troops since 1962. The network also provides news and information to men in the field. It has had a large part in making the American serviceman the best informed soldier ever to fight a war.
Good morning, I'm Army Sergeant Paul Matheson with 5 minutes of news, compiled from commercial and military news agencies. In the top of the news at this hour, after 11 years of the strongest French rule since Napoleon, President Charles de Gaulle of France has resigned. The 78-year-old leader formally relinquished the reins of power after French voters...
This outlet of the Armed Forces radio service in Vietnam came on the air for the first time at 0600 on August 15, 1962. 5 full-time workers manned the fledgling station, broadcasting 18 hours a day on a relatively weak signal. The first announcers used borrowed equipment and a temporary studio at the Rex Hotel. But they started a tradition that is now carried on nationwide. Almost as soon as it was born, the radio network started growing. By the fall of 1964, AFRT Vietnam was broadcasting from permanent facilities at the Brinks Hotel on Hybatron. The staff had grown to 17 full-time personnel. On Christmas Eve of that year, the Viet Cong struck their first blow against AFVN. Terrorists set off 250 pounds of plastic explosives at the Brinks and damaged a large section of the building. The station was forced off the air temporarily, but was broadcasting again in a matter of hours. Out of the wreckage, AFVN was sending out Christmas carols, interspersed with calls for blood donations for those wounded in the explosion. In January 1966, a new concept in broadcasting was brought to Vietnam. 3 C-121 Super Constellation aircraft were outfitted with broadcast and telecast equipment and brought over to supplement the AFRT transmitter. These Blue Eagle aircraft brought increased range by flying over the country sending out radio signals. These flying studios also brought television to Vietnam. Announcers and production workers flew several hours a night, providing information and entertainment to most of the republic. By early 1966, plans were in advanced stages for a TV network in Vietnam, greatly improved radio broadcast facilities, and a sizable increase in AFVN personnel. Contracts had been let for 7 television vans earmarked for strategic locations around the republic. On April 13, 1966, the Viet Cong mortared Tansanut Air Base. All 3 Blue Eagles were victims. Navy inspectors rushed in to assess the damage, concluded it would be 9 to 13 weeks before any of the planes could be repaired. But the same resourcefulness that got the Saigon station back on the air after the 1964 bombing came to the foreground again. By enlisting the aid of American civilian technicians and Air Force maintenance men, AFVN had one of the Blue Eagles flying in 28 days. By October 25, 1966, ground station facilities in Saigon were complete enough to start broadcasting both Vietnamese and United States programs. This relieved Blue Eagle of TV responsibility for the Saigon area. The C-121s continued to operate, however, flying far to the south to furnish the heavily populated Delta region with Vietnamese programming. Official opening ceremonies for the Saigon station were held on October 31st. General Westmoreland and former Premier Nguyen Cao Ky attended the ceremony. They simultaneously cut a ribbon stretching from the main studio building to the transmitter facility. On the same occasion, the cornerstone was laid for the Government of Vietnam TV studio here at number 9, Hung Thap 2. Christmas Eve, 1966, 2 years to the day after the blow-up of the Brinks station, the new facility came under attack. Small arms fire ripped holes in the building, but no one was injured. On May 3rd, 1966, 1968, the Viet Cong struck again. This time, 250 pounds of plastic explosives concealed in a taxi. Here is an actual recording of the 1300 newscast.
Since them broke out near the building with a U.N. commander North Korea reporting charges of border violation. U.S. and North Korean officers...
Damaged broadcasting was only temporarily. In June of 68, the quakes of war rocked the Saigon studios once again, and radio history was permanently etched on audio tape.
Here we go again. Yes, we had to go here on a Tuesday, June 11th, of the Broadcast Radio Program 0616 is our time. I'm Army Specialist Jim Burnside. With a show with a bang, the Don Buster.
AFEN is a nationwide network of 8 stations. It services an estimated 99% of the Americans in Vietnam with 24 hours of radio programming each day and afternoon and evening television entertainment. Studios have been established at 8 sites in the Republic of Vietnam. At Detachment 1 in Quy Nhon, there are now combined AM radio and television facilities. Detachment 2 in Da Nang now has AM and stereo FM as well as TV. Similar facilities can be found at Detachment 3 in Tho Cu. Detachment 4 has split facilities with AM radio at Don Da Thanh serving the Cam Ranh Bay Matrang area and TV and FM located in Matrang's Entree Island serving both areas. Detachment 5, Quang 3, Detachment 6, Tu Ra, and Detachment 7 at Chu Rai have full television facilities. Detachment 8 at Cat Lo operates a 50,000-watt AM transmitter, which provides network and local programming to the 3 and 4 core areas from studios in Saigon. The capital city facility also provides stereo FM and complete television facilities. Each of these stations is a small monument to engineering ingenuity. Towering antennas are precariously balanced on a variety of hills, mountains, and plains. Below them, it's not uncommon to find announcers, writers, and production men providing their own perimeter defense against all too frequent enemy harassment. Servicing the detachments is the job of network headquarters. Operational departments of the Saigon Key Station also have the responsibility for corresponding activities at all stations. The radio branch at Saigon, for example, provides network policy guidance, produce spot announcements and broadcast materials for all the network radio facilities. The heart of AFN's information function is the network news staff, and the hub of the news staff is the network newsroom at the Saigon Key Station. Military newsmen from all services man this bustling facility. News comes in by undersea cable, landline, and radio teletype. Wire copy is rewritten, edited, and announced by the versatile staff. Other sources of news include press conferences held in the Saigon area each day. Some of these are held at AFN studios and produced here on videotape. The network newsroom is never empty. Reports are compiled, edited, and broadcast around the clock. Nearly 3 hours of broadcast and telecast news is beamed to AFN listeners every day. Photos are used on TV news to give the report life and variety. These come through on a radio photo machine from the Associated Press in Tokyo. ABC News film and CBS video tapes are shipped several times a week from the United States. News personnel screen the film and choose appropriate subjects for telecast. The film is reproduced on a kinescope machine for use by the detachments. These kinescope copies are shipped 4 times a week by courier. The special events section produces films for nationwide AFN television. Writers and cameramen in this section treat subjects that hard news cannot cover in depth. The aim is to give American servicemen more insight into Vietnamese life and to promote understanding between the people of the two countries. Special events teams have covered subjects ranging from a report on Viet Cong atrocities to an in-depth study of Vietnamese industry. This is the American Forces Vietnam Network. This is Channel 54, Saigon.
The GI Bill will assist servicemen to learn a trade, business, or a profession, but it can help them to set up in their own business.
The radio system has been in operation since 1962. A system of 7 stations and transmitters blankets Vietnam with music, news, and special programs. Network programming originates at the Saigon Key Station. From here, radio is beamed to a 50,000-watt transmitter at Cat Lo, which throws the signal all over the southern part of the Republic. The same signal is sent through a J-105, or telephone line, to transmitters at Pleiku, Da Nang, Quy Nhon, Nha Trang, Chu Rai, and Quang Tri.
These stations carry the network feed 21 hours a day and supply 3 hours of local programming. AFVN Radio is the soldier's constant companion. For many, it is the only source of diversion. Continuous audience analysis and the subsequent development of appropriate programming have resulted in a network known for its responsiveness to the needs of its predominantly young audience. Locally produced AM programs are contemporary, but appeal to a variety of modern taste. The emphasis is on America's most popular music. For some, it's country and western, for others, Latin, but for most, the beat goes on.
Stevens, get it, get Tarzan. That's number five on the stateside survey. This happens to be a mild Wednesday morning.
Yeah, how you doing?
We got lots of good things to have for you, like your Arbor's Chief of Franklin, the Association, Harry Long Davis, Crazy Elephant, DJ Thomas, just to mention, Simon and Garfunkel, Wilson Ticket, soon to roll by Wilson Hunt, Ike and Tina Turner with a big Vietnam premiere. It's called After Loving You. Be long. Time right now, 12 minutes past 10 o'clock on a mild Wednesday morning. Beach of the Arbors, number 12 on the stateside survey. It's called The Letter.
De música española, latinoamericana y mexicana, con su salpicada de números brasileños.
Requests rolling right in here to Town and Country, AFBN Radio, APL in Country, 96309. See you on the other side of noon.
From Saigon, this is the American Forces Vietnam Network, where the hits just keep on coming. In rapid review for you, AFVN's Capsule Countdown, America's Top 10.
Something else, the Finchers, song 13 on the stateside survey, called Milwaukee 5-0, from the TV show of the same name. It's 1:32 now on the Orient Express.
There's a certain sound always follows me around. When you're close to me.
And leave the drain plug out at the bottom of the flywheel housing. This keeps any oil from collecting around the clutch. Wow, gotta run. But take it easy, man.
Boy, that guy really knows his stuff.
Of course, that's Percy. Percy Marvelous, but most guys just call him PM.
Yes, I know.
We'll sing in the sunshine from Sunshine Radio for those rainy days. Here's Gail Garnett from 64.
We'll sing in the sunshine. We'll have everyone
with a happy heart. It's 7:19. Good morning.
It's all right.
you're putting me on, aren't you? Not at 7:22, those were the crying chains, but it's all right. Right now, Herb Alpert, the Tijuana Brass. This is all right, too. The sounds of Zazuela.
The American Forces Vietnam Network, in cooperation with the Veterans Administration, presents You Owe It to Yourself, a program to answer your questions about Veterans Administration benefits.
I neglected to have some needed dental work done while in the Army because I was anxious to get out of service. Can I get treatment from the Veterans Administration? I have been out of service for 3 months. Under current VA policy, a veteran may receive such treatment without regard
extra frames. In the 10th inning, neither team scored. We join the action now in the top of the 11th. Washington coming to bat.
Well, Mike has been a hero for the Senators this afternoon. His three-run homer in the 6th inning was a big hit for Washington. First pitch from Tarnowski's outside. Ball one. Delivery on the way from Gronowski. Change up inside. Ball two. On deck is Ken McMullen. In the hold is Hank Allen. As Gronowski pitches around the mound. Defensively, Twins have Killebrew at first, Tovar at second, Gardens at short, Nettles at third, Manuel left, Hulander in center, and Oliva in right field. Pitch on the way. He swings and fouls it down the first baseline. Foul. Two balls and one strike on Mike. Ron Tarnowski, the bullpen ace of the Minnesota Twins. He's a pitcher of record, as is relief ace Darryl Knowles. Two balls and one strike to count on Mike Epstein. He fires, fastball just missed outside, ball three.
Over March 1963. And we're moving back to May 1969 and Stepping Wolf, the number one group, Black Men. Hit 224 on the state time survey this week up by the Ohio Express. Have a little mercy to the third tower. 8:13, check time on Go Program Phase 1. Go!
One, two, three, combination.
You're in tune to the most music sound of Million Dollar Music for Monday afternoon. Heading for news at 4 o'clock with the Young Rascals from 1967, A Girl Like You.
I don't know what is all about, but I feel awesome.
The Quags on a Monday afternoon, capping it off with Wild Thing. It's 4:15 Vietnam.
AFVN also airs programs pre-recorded in the States by the Armed Forces Radio Service.
Hi, Lou. This is Chris Norell.
This is your invitation to hop on the Finch bandwagon as we take a musical journey with the big bands direct from the 30s, 40s, and those fabulous 50s. The Finch bandwagon is presented through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service. And now, here is your host, Bill Finch.
Welcome to Music and Me, and I'm Rita Lee.
Get your
Hey, we got around to our Friday, and I promised you something special today, didn't I? Didn't I tell you we'd go back and make a memory or two? Well, get it.
Hi. The Melody Patterson Show again, and I'm Melody. It's a groovy day, and we've got a groovy show for you. We've got Herb Alpert and Lulu and Marvin Gaye, and, well, just get yourself ready for one of the grooviest hours since last week.
Hey, all you Tigers out there, this is Johnny Grant. I want to say welcome aboard. Hey, and have I got a guest for you today? An import from Canada. I won't tell you any more about her until I introduce her. In the meantime, let's listen to this.
From Nashville, Tennessee, we present the Grand Ole Opry.
Victor Hugo said it, when grace is joined with wrinkles, it is adorable.
There is an unspeakable dawn in happy old age. And that is our point to ponder. Hello again, and how are you? We have music about command, some music about the girls, songs about astronomy in this hour, and also music about love.
Hi, this is Roger Carroll, and I play records. Hello from Hollywood. It's a Friday. Whoopee, and won't you join us for the best sounds in town?
Hi there, this is Burl Ives. It's time once again for your Country Corner starring Joe Allison.
Thank you very much, Big Daddy, and how do you do, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, wherever you might be and whoever you might be. If you like country music, you certainly have come to the right place.
Come on, gang! Here's Herman Griffith with excitement and sound of musical motion. The rock and the roll for the young and the old, the brave and the bold on the record caravan.
Hello again. Welcome. It's the Ira Cook Show, and our star of the day, the great musical director and arranger, Alan Copeland.
On our sweet stage,
now in 1969, 7 years after AFBM's first broadcast, the network's FM facilities provide an easy listening addition to the total entertainment picture.
Man of War's Bureau is a drifter on the sea lane. Okay, Sergio Mendez, and watch what happens. Eddie Rackley on the orchestra led us off with Paris in August. I'm Golden Song of AFVM-FM. Remind it coming up this evening, 10:15, on Musical Spotlight, 45 minutes with Liz Wiggins and the piano artistry of Roger Williams.
Larry.
Adventures in Good Music. Adventures in Good Music offers you the world's greatest music, discussed informally and played by the Director of Fine Arts for WJR Detroit, Carl Haas. Now, Adventures in Good Music and Mr. Haas.
Surely.
Trumpet stars of Mr. Al Hart played a title song from the Broadway production Promises, Promises on the songs of AFVM FM and Saigon. You also heard an old song brought back by Aretha Franklin, Say It Isn't So, and we played the Bellhammer and the Band along with Julius Butcher, Dream of a Dream of Wait.
Cool, clear water, as the song goes. But in Vietnam, I'm afraid there's not too much of that kind of water. But you can at least make the water.
Commercials such as these urge servicemen to take advantage of military benefits, make them aware of services available to them, and perform a wide variety of other functions. AFVM is the most effective information outlet in Vietnam. In times of emergency, such as the Tet Offensive of 1968, a steady flow of bulletins and advisory announcements dispelled rumors and told listeners what action they should take. The reassurance of a familiar voice was there, providing a cohesive force of factual information. Forces Television carried radio to Vietnam in October 1966, 4 years after the first radio broadcast. Since that original telecast in the Saigon station, the network has grown to stations serving the country with about 55 hours a week of TV programming. American Forces Vietnam Network Television has a mission similar to radio. Through programs from the U.S. and locally produced shows, the network is keeping the fighting men informed as well as entertained. About one-fifth of the airtime is devoted to information programs. These include newscasts, New Times Daily, biographical, historical, and contemporary films from the Armed Forces Radio Service in Los Angeles, and locally produced information programs. At 1900 each evening, prime time, AFVN Television in Saigon presents an hour-long live news program. This comprehensive cast covers national, international, and Vietnam news, as well as sports and weather. With the newscast as a base, other programs of general information are fed into the daily schedule. These include feature news from the armed forces, as well as special news programs from the U.S. For example, the State of the Union message, given by the President at the beginning of each congressional session, is telecast to the fighting men in Vietnam by AFDN. Teams also produce feature programs about Vietnam to acquaint servicemen with the Vietnamese people, their culture, and way of living. AFVN has produced a series of interviews with important military people, such as legal officers, military police, and financial experts. Through these talks, military men have been given legal advice, cautioned against the use of marijuana, and urged not to spend their piastres too heavily. For shows produced in the studio, graphic arts plays a major role. Artists design slides for use in news and information spots. They build sets for use in local productions. The three men in AFVN's art section make information programs lively by capitalizing on television's appeal to the eye. In short, AFVN television has come a long way since 1966. Through a policy of changing programming every 6 months, the station keeps a fresh approach. Emphasis on local entertainment shows is increasing. The mission of entertaining armed forces and providing them with the things they need to know to do their job well is being carried out with professionalism by the television branch of AFVN. Designed to bridge the 14,000-mile gap between more than half a million Americans and their home. It's an organization that deals solely in service and support. AFVN provides facts that dispel doubts and strengthen convictions. Features that entertain and enlighten. Music that brings every serviceman a little closer to home. This is Army Specialist Scott Mack.
Originally was on a flight to San Antonio, Texas from Acapulco with a stop in Mexico. cosmonauts who died aboard their spaceship Wednesday morning apparently were killed by a sudden depressurization of their cabin and a fatal rise in their blood pressure. This was reported tonight by Western communist sources whose identity cannot be disclosed. They said this was decided by a Soviet government medical commission after a two-day inquest into the cosmonauts' death. The sources said the spaceship's landing cabin was damaged slightly during its separation from the orbital compartment. They said a tiny hole was created in the cabin wall. The hole became enlarged when the craft's braking rockets were fired immediately before the space crew began their entry into the Earth's atmosphere. The larger hole caused the sudden depressurization in the cabin and a fatal rise in the cosmonauts' blood pressure. A train carrying a group of children on an excursion has derailed near Chester, England. CBS News correspondent Adam Rayfield has details from London.
A day of defeat is a day of horror for a train full of British schoolchildren today. Two of them are reported dead after their train was derailed in a deserted station in northern England. At least four more children are seriously injured. Many others who were injured have been rushed to hospital. At least 30 children have suffered minor injuries. The train was an excursion special on its way home to Crewe, 150 miles north of London, after a day at the seaside in North Wales. Passing through a deserted station at Wimbledon, the last two cars were derailed, and two children were trapped in the wreckage. The two who have since reportedly died. These are initial reports only. The whole picture has yet to become clear. At the moment, a major rescue operation is underway. This is Adam Rayfield for CBS News in London.
Defense Secretary Laird ordered the Land Corporation today to surrender custody of all classified documents in its possession. This action follows the leak to newspapers of a top-secret Pentagon study on the Vietnam War by Dr. Daniel Ellsberg, a former employee of Rand. Rand, a private think tank, performed secret research for the military under special contract. It also has withdrawn today its special access to cryptographic information, intelligence, and nuclear weapons design. Despite the tightened security in action, it is not expected to restrict Rand's operations severely. Rand President Henry Rowan said in a statement he supports the new security precautions. Elsewhere in the news, trouble is already for the new postal system and its head, Wynton Blunk. UPI correspondent Jim Lounsbury has the story in New York.
The new United States postal setup has already run into a whole lot of trouble. Employees have turned down a $750 million pay raise offer, and two postal union locals in New York have voted to authorize the strike later this month. The strike would be illegal under the new setup. Black postal workers don't like the personnel policies of the new setup, and more trouble is coming from mass mailers who are trying to force new postal rates down. Congress was not too happy with Wynton Blunt, the Postmaster General, so they decided not to vote all the money Blunt requested. Mr. Blunt says that may force a raise in third-class mailing rates. This is Jim Lounsbury in New York.
The government reports there was a drop of 0.6% in the unemployment rate during June. The White House termed it a very significant improvement. But the figures also disclosed that actually the number of unemployed increased by more than 1 million. There are now, according to the report, more than 5.5 million persons unemployed. Democratic National Chairman Lawrence O'Brien says it's the highest total in 10 years. He disagreed with the Nixon administration's assessment of June being a good month in employment. An official of the United Mine Workers Union has charged advance notice of inspections as being given to mine operators. As Dr. Lauren Kerr put it, there's evidence mine officials are being forewarned 6 to 24 hours of a federal mine health inspection. He made the statement in Washington at a hearing studying the Bureau of Mines Enforcement of coal mine safety laws. Many of the nation's highways are clogged with motorists bound on outgoing outings over the long July 4th holiday weekend. The National Safety Council estimates that between 520 and 620 persons might be killed in traffic accidents. Finally, spectators watched horrified as 69-year-old Rosanna Hamer drove her car straight through a wire fence. It somersaulted three times on an 80-foot cliff near the Burnmouth Seaside Resort in England. The vehicle landed on its wheels and slowly turned over. She crawled out, straightened herself, and said, "Where's my purse?" This is Air Force Sergeant Jim LeRoy, and that's AFBN News to the hour.
AFBN News, my own commercial and military news agency. In Dow Jones, Dow Jones Stock Average, another feature of the American Forces Vietnam at Work News Department.
Sounds where we go to news first, all markets at a glance. Well, the story today is lower in light trading on both stock exchanges. On the good board, the average New York Stock Exchange share gained just 1 cent
and very likely to have 9,950,000 shares. Bonds were steady and U.S. government bonds were steady in quiet trading. On the American Stock Exchange, an average share of 3 cents, trading with 2,310,000 shares. London stocks were firm, cotton futures were mixed. Chicago grain futures, we closed down 1 to up 3/8 of a cent. Corn down 1/2 to up 1/4. Oats down 3/8 to up 3/8. And soybeans down 3 1/4 to 4.5. It was a very even break on the big board today, with 679 issues moving ahead and 640 in decline. The most active with RCA closed up 35 5/8, down 5/8. Metals at 26 was also down 5/8. AT&T 45 1/4, down 1/8. Commonwealth Oil Preferred 25 3/8, down 5/8. Warner Lambert at 74.5 was down 1 3/4. Eastman Kodak at 75 1/8 was down 1. General Telephone and Electric Corporation, 32 1/4, up 3/8. Houston Acton Corporation at 49 3/4, up 5/8. Georgia Pacific at 48.5, up 1/2. And Martin Marietta, 21 1/8, down 3/8. On the American Stock Exchange, Burroughs Southwest, closing at 29 3/8, down 1/8. That was the most active issue. Henry Hillenbrand at 37, down 1/4. Gould Incorporated Warrant, 10 3/8, up 1 3/4. Techstar at 7 3/8, down 1/2. Tier 1 Imports at 38 3/4, down 7/8. And General Battery at 27 3/4, down 1/4. We don't have the Standard & Poor's final figures today, but we do have the Dow Jones. The closing stock averages for 30 industrials, down 2.84, closing at 890.19 for the week, and we won't be moving that figure again until Tuesday. 20 transportation items up 0.57, 15 utilities down 0.23, and 65 stocks down 0.38. Time for a few business items. Probably no surprise, more companies declared extra dividends and more resumed dividend payments last month than in any June since 1967. This reported from Standard & Poor's today. The final figures on their stock averages come in just a little bit late for this broadcast. We've been phoned for it. But the girls went home early to that. And that's why we don't have the Standard & Poor's. General Electric Company has joined the Exodus, announcing today it will build a headquarters in Fairfield, Connecticut, and move 500 of its 3,400 employees in New York City to the new site in mid-1974. The story I read today questioned that they're still pushing a zoning problem, but this story sounds like GE is quite sure they're going to Fairfield. A 100-acre tract near the Merritt Parkway out that way. At this time, we're at the Mutual Financial Desk in New York.
The Dow Jones closing the stock averages. Another feature of the American Forces Vietnam at Work News Department.
Yvonne Vigodon is the new queen of tennis, winning the women's single title of Wimbledon on center court, and the manner in which she won was spectacular. Miss Vigodon devastated Margaret Court in 63 minutes, 6-4, 6-1. Mr. Court was never in the match. At 28 years old, 9 years the senior of her opponent, and normally a slow starter, she never had a chance. A monumental surprise, Yvonne Vigodon took it in this manner, for her inexperience against top competition was the only question mark about her chances. But she looks like a seasoned player, and this victory could establish her as the one to contend with in coming years. Meeting with Pat Rader and Vigodon, where she won the French Championship recently, admitted she didn't think she was ready for Wimbledon.
Was it a real surprise if I knew you could take a ticket to stay in, and from then on, I took it like a dream. I didn't know what I was doing next to it.
I realized that I did everything. 19-year-old Yvonne Vigodon, the women's champion at Wimbledon. Now tomorrow, the men's final will be decided between America's Sam Smith and Australia's John Newcomb, the defending champion. Smith is round with private, nonetheless, and got the seat of his game, and a victory by Smith would give the United States its first Wimbledon men's title since Chuck McKinley won it all 8 years ago. Australia captured the men's doubles today. Rod Laver and Roy Emerson defeated Arthur Ashe and Denny Ralston in 5 sets. So Australia has 2 of the 4 major Wimbledon titles, the women's singles and men's doubles. Good sports is at the moment.
I'm American League is wrapped around three clubs, Baltimore, Boston, and Detroit. The Red Sox are just 2.5 behind the Orioles, the Tigers are 5.5 back. Boston, a month ago, led by 4 games, fell behind by 4, then by 8. But in the space of the past week, the Red Sox have sliced away 5.5 games of the Orioles lead. Boston's pitching is still suspect, and they did try to do it before the trade deadline. But the hitting is there. The Sox have punched across 30 runs in the past 4 games. Baltimore manager O'Reilly thought the big challenge would come from Detroit, which he thought had more balance. But at the moment, it's Boston, and the Orioles, confident from the start, might have a long summer. More in a moment.
You say that, and I have to go now.
Chicago 5-1 and Bob Newton 7 hitters. Bob Robertson and Gene Alley homers for the Pirates. They made 3.5 games ahead of the Mets, pending New York City tonight against Atlanta. Clayton Jenkins took a loss for the Cubs. He's now 11-8 on the year. And the balance of the Major League race is heading into the holiday weekend. Oakland leads the American League West by 9.5 over Kansas City. San Francisco leads Los Angeles by 6.5 games in the Western Division of the National League. Late today, Pro Football Commissioner Pete Rozelle reportedly declared defensive tackle Kelly from the New England Patriots a free agent. Olsen, the Patriots' number one draft choice of a year ago, was injured in the College All-Star game. He had problems reaching a happy agreement with Boston, and he was the brother of Merlin Olsen, the Los Angeles Rams. Reporting on sports from New York.
Report of news, stocks, and sports for this, the third day of July, 1930.